As I stuck with it through the discomfort, I was able to find through lines of commonality, despite the fact that we had very clear, distinct differences. And they were made very clear at the beginning of our conversation.
Hey there, I'm Julie. Welcome to Uncomfy, a podcast about sticking with moments that challenge us. We share the stories of real people in moments that challenge their perspective. And instead of getting angry or shutting down, they stuck with the discomfort. They stayed curious and open, and they're glad they did. We hope these stories inspire you to stick with it, too, because there is so much to gain. New empathy, deeper relationships, more clarity about our own views. I'm glad you're here. Now, let's get uncomfy. Here's a story about a disagreement with a stranger about guns that ended up in a surprising place. I'm joined by Jazalyn Livingston. She is National Program Director at the One America Movement, which partners with faith communities across religious, political, and racial divides to confront toxic polarization in our society. And Jazalyn's also one of the co-founders of Black Girls Leadership Academy. Jazalyn, welcome. It's so great to talk with you today.
Yes. Thank you so much, Julie. I'm very excited for this conversation.
Well, let's dive into your story. As uncomfy topics go, guns is right up there at the top of the list for a lot of us. So where were you when this topic came up and who were you speaking with?
I was on a plane and I was heading home to Washington, D.C., and also in a middle seat where I actually was engaged in a conversation that initially we weren't really having much of a conversation when we first got on the plane with my plane mate, person was sitting right next to me. And I recognized that I actually had noticed something on his shirt that made it very clear in terms of his political standing, I would say that. So I was aware of, based off of symbols. End up was curious of what was taking him to Washington, D.C., and we just had a really friendly conversation about what was bringing him to D.C. I talked a little bit about where I was coming from. It did begin at a very neutral conversation, and then we began to talk about school shootings. And I understood that the Second Amendment was a value of his. And so there was a moment where he said, essentially like, no one can have their hands on my guns. I don't want anyone to have their hands in my guns, on my guns. As he talked about the value that he has around funding police and ensuring that law enforcement and enforcers have what they need to protect the city, protect property, if need be, and whatever lengths they may need to take for that.
And so what was uncomfortable for you then about hearing this man express, "Don't come for my guns"? What was uncomfortable for you about that?
As someone, I'll give a little context. So I grew up in South Central Los Angeles, raised in the context after Rodney King and the Watts riots, the LA riots, a great deal of community violence, police violence that was occurring as well in that time. Gangs was a thing. War on drugs was a thing. Drug crimes and the influx of that in communities was also a thing. I give that context to give a little background of the cultural and social context because I think it deeply shaped my upbringing. At 13, I had a brother that was also heavily involved as a teenager in, I would say, that culture in some ways. Mm. Someone who was seeking a sense of power while feeling very powerless as a young Black boy, as a young Black teenager. And I think kind of the culture of hanging with gang members or friends gave him a sense of community. But I say that context to say that, you know, at 13, I lost my 19-year-old brother to community violence. He was shot, and I won't go into the gruesome details of that happening, but that was the first real time that I ever came in deep contact with what guns could do. I obviously was the person who pulled the trigger, but that was the mechanism that took my brother's life. So even at a young age, at 13, that's when I began to advocate against gun violence. It's not an easy topic to talk about.
What was it that led you to kind of choose to, okay, let's go there. Let's have this conversation. And what was your mindset?
For me, I decided as we continue to have dialogue was I was going to listen, sort of the natural way in which we interact with humans mm-hmm. when we see symbols or we see signs or we see color and we place them in a box of categorization. Our brains work in that way, right? And so I had a little bit of that. But I think what was allowed me to kind of lean in, that there was a mutual, unexpectedly, but I guess just a mutual listening, even in our very different opinions around law enforcement. I had a different upbringing and engagement with law enforcement. I saw moments of harassment where my brothers or my father or even myself, where there were clear moments of violation. But as I sat with it, was willing to listen and ask curious questions and not taking a more debative, because I could have went back and forth and kind of debated him, so to speak, in that conversation, because he had some really strong convictions. As I began to listen more and I asked questions, particularly around what makes it so important to you, out of curiosity, and he talked about how he enjoys teaching his children, his son, how to hunt. It was something that his father taught him. Also, he believed in protection and also protecting his family and his loved one and his wife and his children. And the threat that I found commonality in listening was, I also believe in self-defense. I also believe, I think as a woman too, it's something I've thought about of like, how as a woman do I also protect myself in the event I was in harm's way or something. And so I think as I stuck with it through the discomfort, I was able to find through lines of commonality, despite the fact that we had very clear, distinct differences. And they were made very clear at the beginning of our conversation.
And did that end up changing your views in some way, or even shape the work that you now do 4 or 5 years later with One America Movement?
It was a moment where I was very conscious that this conversation could have turned into something that could have been it could have been a debate. I didn't leave that conversation thinking like, oh yeah, see, that's the problem with folks that think this way, or he was wrong. I can't believe he have such a high value about this thing. And I could have left with that kind of perspective about him or feeling about him. But I think what it really taught me was that we actually have more in common than what we think. It began my journey of being conscious of how I engage with folks that I may assume look, vote, worship differently than me. And I don't always do this perfectly, but I try to be conscious of, am I not engaging with someone because I'm placing someone in a box? Or am I shutting off and closing off when someone is sharing something that I may disagree with? I'm feeling tight in my stomach. I want to put up my defense. But am I willing to just kind of, okay, can you tell me a little bit more? Can I get to a deeper understanding? So that has shaped even what I'm doing right now with One America Movement. We work in 6 different localities. We partner with faith leaders and faith communities across political, racial, and religious divides, whether that's in our hub in Jackson, Mississippi, where the water crisis was going on, and it's still remnants of that water crisis. And we're seeing Muslim and Christian leaders coming together to serve their community, the city of Jackson, clean water. And at a time like this where peacemaking isn't very exciting, unity doesn't always feel very exciting for some, it's faith leaders who are on the front lines doing that work in the peacemaking and bringing folks together across those differences.
Jazalyn Livingston is the National Program Director at the One America Movement, which partners with faith communities to confront toxic polarization in our society. Jazalyn, thanks again. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you for getting uncomfy with us today. Have you had an experience recently where choosing to stay uncomfortable led to an unexpected outcome? I would love to hear about it. Email your story to uncomfy@byu.edu. We might even invite you on the show to talk about it. In the meantime, if you're looking for more thoughtful ways to practice sticking with moments that challenge you, check out my other podcast called Top of Mind. We recently did an episode about childcare in America, why so many families of all incomes struggle to afford it, and why, even though it's so expensive, many childcare operators are still just barely squeaking by. It's a real conundrum. And as somebody who doesn't have kids, I was challenged by the suggestion from one of our guests in that episode that all Americans should be subsidizing childcare. I'd love to hear if anything in that episode challenged you, maybe made you a little uncomfy in that good way that leads to empathy and understanding. You can find Top of Mind on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you listen. Uncomfy is a BYU radio podcast. Samuel Benson produces it with help from Enrique Prado, James Hoops, and Sam Payne. Kelsey Ney composed our theme music. I'm Julie Rose. Can't wait to get uncomfy with you again next week. Hey there, it's Julie. Talking politics is deeply uncomfy for so many of us right now, which is why we're bringing you lots of stories along those lines. And I want to point you in the direction of another show called A Braver Way with Monica Guzman. She literally wrote a book on how to have conversations about politics in polarized times. And it was a big influence on my own willingness to start getting uncomfy. So over on her podcast, A Braver Way, Monica introduces us to people across the political spectrum who are doing it too. I can't stop thinking about a recent episode that featured a college student who created a club at his campus at the University of South Florida to host weekly cross-partisan discussions on the hot-button issues of the day. He talks about how hard it was and also how rewarding. And every time I listen to A Braver Way, I feel more excited to get out there and engage with perspectives that challenge me. So check it out at braverangels.org/abraverway. Or just search for A Braver Way wherever you get your podcasts. I think you're going to love it.